Well, good morning, and so glad. Thank you for joining us today, and grateful that you're here to worship with us today, and excited about this morning. So if you're a guest that's joined us online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and you can click that information and fill that out, and it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today, and so grateful for the opportunity to this last Sunday of 2024, hard to believe, right? And chance for us to get together, worship, serve the Lord together. And so just want to make you aware of a few things happening, particularly take note of the office hours this week. As the year end and everything happening this week, office will be open on Monday and on Tuesday, but then Wednesday and Thursday, the office will be closed, so just take note of that. Also, there will be no Bible study with the pastor this week, and so there's also opportunity to for the food pantry. There's a few needs on the back there listed there if you'd like to help meet the needs and provide for the food pantry. Still, no Wednesday night activities. Those things will resume in the coming weeks. We have the dates on the back there for you, so you can take notice of that. I do want to draw special attention to year-end giving. I know many look to give right at the end of the year for various reasons, and so we are, the office is open on Tuesday from 8 to 4, and the deadline for year-end giving will be at noon on New Year's Eve, okay? So 12 o'clock noon on Tuesday will be the cutoff to give for the 2024 year. So if you have any giving that you would like to do before the close of 2024, please take note of that. Get with Addie this week and let her know and be a great, just make sure you get that taken care of if that's what you would like to do, okay? All right, there's some other things happening, things that are going on, life ministry of the church that you can take note of and always watch that bulletin. We try to send out those weekly emails so you're well aware of what's happening and going on. And just thank you so much for that. Well, before we begin in just a moment in singing and worshiping the Lord together, I want to read to you from Psalm 27. And Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident." And in these couple of verses, just really strong. "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." The Lord is faithful. He is good. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to serve. And so this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will sing and worship the Lord together. God, You are gracious and kind and merciful. Thank You, God, for Your mercy and grace. I pray this morning that above all else, we would exalt You, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that, God, we would worship You in spirit and in truth. I pray we would sing for Your glory and namesake. I pray You, Holy Spirit, would fall on this place, God. We would worship for the audience of one. And Lord, we love You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would go ahead and join me in standing.
God of wonders beyond our count. so early in the morning. I will celebrate the light when I stumble in the darkness. I will call your name by night. God, wonders beyond our count to see. You are holy. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and God created by humanness. You are not a God dependent anymore, man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by humanness. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. Right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God whose word. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. You are God alone. And right now, in the good time and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable, unshakable, you're unstoppable. That's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. Right now, in the good time and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone. the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of up the oceans. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Aaron, whose favor rests upon the all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd more courageous. I may not face your life, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. You heard your children now, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answer prayers by now, and you will answer. Providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You moved in power then, God move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a Savior then, you are a Savior now. You are the same God, you are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Freeing hearts right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You touch the lepers and I feel your touch right now. You are the same God, you are the same. Father, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for just the opportunity that we get to worship the same God that was the God of Jacob and Moses and Mary. Lord, I pray that we would not lose sight of everything that you've done for us through sending your son. Lord, apart from you, we are nothing. I pray that in this time that we would just reveal yourself to us, and I pray that this would not be about us in any way, shape, or form, but it'd be all about you, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Well, amen. If you are grateful that we serve the same God who always has been, always will be, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good and worthy to be praised. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And if I may, just as a point of privilege, say this morning, first of all, thank you so much for praying for me and my family and the loss of my father this past week. It has been a difficult week in a lot of ways, but many of you have experienced loss in your own way, and you know that our heart is burdened and heavy here, yet at the same time, we rejoice in those that have graduated to heaven. And the reality is the greatest day for any person is the day that they surrender their heart and life to Jesus. The second greatest day for any person, any believer, is the day they close their earthly eyes and open their heavenly eyes. That's the day we long for, the day of moving from this life into eternity with the Lord. And so, so grateful. Thank you for your faithfulness to pray through the years for my dad. He battled cancer for a long time. And thank you so much. He was very, very, very grateful and humbled to have a church in Russellville praying, a group of believers in Russellville praying for him. He would mention that often. He always enjoyed his visits here. He was always grateful and often bragged on your cooking. So anyway, he was grateful for your love and support for him. I too am grateful for that, and thank you again for faithfulness to pray for us since the time of his passing. And also thank you, just hugs and texts and calls and those things, and the way you've come alongside me and my family to support us. And so we just want to say thank you. We're grateful for that. And just rejoice in that there's hope. There's hope beyond the grave. And look forward to that. So in just a moment, we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 22. Let me also say it's nice to have probably the visitors from the furthest distance this morning, but from across the pond, and Brant and Karen and their family, and just grateful that they get a chance to be home. And kids are growing and all that, so I hope you get to say hi to them, hug their neck, and thank you for praying for them, and continue to do so, and just continue to support them in any way that you can. And so we're grateful you guys are here. Thank you for being here. Well, just a couple weeks ago now, a friend of mine, Pastor Chad Pendergraf, was here preaching for us. I was excited to have him here, glad he was here, And I've been praying about this week's message and honestly 2025 and what the Lord has in store for us, what He's calling us to, and so on and so forth. And as he was preaching, and a lot of people, this seems to have become popular the last few years, where people pick a word for the new year and something to focus on. I've never been one of those guys of picking a word and holding on to it for a year or anything like that. But I have tried to set some goals and do some different things. And I know there's a lot of opinions about New Year's resolutions and so on and so forth. Whatever your opinion is, that's fine. I think it's great to set some goals. Whether you do that on January 1 or you do it March, whatever it is, the reality is we probably don't accomplish what we don't set out to do. And so setting some goals, seeking to obtain some goals and those sorts of things, I think are good things, no matter when you choose to do those. But as he was preaching, I really believed all my heart that the Lord, just in the quietness of my own soul, just brought a word to mind, and that word is invitation. And so then just beginning and preparing for this week and preparing for this morning and then in 2025, I believe the Lord wants us to focus on that as a church family, that word invitation. And so this morning, I want to preach to you this message that I've titled, plural, Invitations, okay? So Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 12, you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And God, I pray this morning that above all else, you would be exalted. I pray the name of Jesus would be lifted high. You would be glorified. And God, I pray that, God, we would fix our eyes on you. Lord, thank you that you're a God of invitation. Help us to see that from the Word of God this morning. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. We thank you for your love and affection. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this idea of invitations is the focus of our message this morning. If you're taking notes, the main idea of the text is this, or our message this morning, is God is a God of invitations. God is a God of invitation. We're going to see this morning that the Scripture, there's a consistent theme of God inviting us to Himself, that there are these invitations to know more of God. And so this morning, this is the question I want us to wrestle with, want us to think about, and want to challenge you to pray as you head into a new year, should the Lord tarry, is how is God inviting you to Himself? How is God inviting you to Himself? Some of you, it could be into a saving relationship with Christ. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, that's the beginning place. But as many of us in this room probably have, we've probably surrendered our life to Jesus. We've been saved. We know we have a relationship with Him. But I believe there's still more of God to be experienced. There's still more of God to know. We've not exhausted the goodness of God, have we? Not at all. In no way, shape, or form. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface. And so how is God inviting you to Himself? Well, there are two ways in which I want to talk about invitations, talk about God inviting us to Himself. The first, number one, God invites us to Himself, very simply. But here's what I want you to see, okay, before we move on. There are two ideas under that. But number one, God invites us to Himself. I want you to see again in verse 17, listen to what the Scripture says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's the invitation. That's the invitation, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So here we are in the book of Revelation. I know oftentimes we get excited about looking at or studying the book of Revelation. I just finished up teaching through the book of Revelation. Oftentimes we open to Revelation, we want the timelines and the charts. We want the prophecies of when is Jesus returning and what are things going to be like. And certainly the Word of God has things to say about that. But here's the news flash, or maybe the spoiler alert. I don't think that's the focus at all of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is to make exceptionally clear there is no contest about who king is. There is no contest about who the ruler is. There is no contest or a debate or election to be had. Jesus is supreme. That's the focus of Revelation. Then we get through, and in the first few chapters, you have these letters written to the churches. Some are encouraged, some are corrected, some are both. Then we do have some dialogue, some teaching, some John seeing some visions about things that are going to happen at end times. There's nothing wrong. It's the Word of God. We should study those things. But then we get on the backside of that and we start winding down to the end of the book of Revelation. Then the Scripture becomes exceptionally clear about exalting Christ. And in our text this morning, that's exactly what we see. Did you catch in verse 12, it says, "Now behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his word." Then he says in verse 13, and you've heard this probably quoted or prayed multiple times, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega the last. So he's saying, I'm A to Z, and here's the picture, I'm everything in between. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He says, I'm the first and the last. And so it's this exaltation, but then he ends this incredible, in terms of our text, verse 17, we have this invitation to come. And so we have this entire Scripture, this entire book of the Bible, the Word of God. And as we draw near the end, what's so fascinating to me is that he virtually ends the book with an invitation to come to him. Why is that interesting? Well, if you hit pause and flip to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. You look at Genesis chapter 3, and let me remind you what happens in the book of Genesis. Genesis 1, we see 6 days of creation. God creates the heavens and the earth. Chapter 2 begins with the day of rest, the day of Sabbath. Then we get a drilling down, a focus of that day of creation, day 6, where God creates mankind. And then he gives them instruction. He gives Adam instruction that he's going to put him in the garden and he can eat of everything except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, you know the story that Adam and Eve sin against God. They take of that and they eat. Well, whenever they eat, they realize they don't have clothes on, and the Bible says that they go and hide themselves, and they hear the Lord coming. The Bible says this, in the cool of the day. Now, I believe that cool can also mean spiritual. It can mean spiritual part of the day. So I believe what the text is teaching us there was a regular time in which Adam and Eve, on a daily basis, walked with God, literally walked with God prior to their sin. But they sin against God, breaking the command. So what does sin do? Sin causes us to run and hide from God. Anybody attest to that? In our sin, we're not running to intimacy with Christ, we're running from. And that's exactly what happens. And what do? They go and hide themselves, which for me, and I know my twisted sometimes view of Scripture, it's a little bit comical. I've been preaching or teaching through this. Now this is where we're at with our Bible study with the pastor. Again, we won't have that this week. We'll be picked back up in February. But I've also been teaching through this with our college students. I told them this. It's funny to me because here God is, created all of this, walking with them. They sin against God and they go hide behind a bush as if God's not good at hide and seek. You remember when your kids are little, like you remember being a toddler, like if they can't see you, you can't see them? You ever experienced this? Like they're little, you know, they're figuring all these things out and they go and hide themselves and they go and in really plain sight, but they turn their back to you because if I can't see you, you can't see me. That's like what Adam and Eve are doing, okay? It's like going, well, if I just hide behind this, he can't see me. Jonah figured out that God's pretty good at hide and seek. Jonah was committed to hide and seek, right? Off the boat, went and gotten a fish. God still found him, right? But I want you to notice this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. There's that language, the spiritual part of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Notice verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Now, let me ask you, did God know where they were? Yeah. Why did God ask? Here's why. Because God is a God of invitation. God is a God that is consistently and constantly inviting us to Himself. Inviting you to Himself. Isn't this interesting, okay? And maybe you've noticed this before, maybe you haven't. Genesis 3, the Bible begins with an invitation. Revelation 22, the Bible begins with an invitation. I would submit to you this morning that the pages of Scripture is full of God inviting people to Himself. And this morning, I want to talk to you about invitations, and I want to talk to you about God is inviting us to Himself. So let's talk about in two ways that God is inviting us to Himself. A, there's an invitation for salvation. Now, I realize we got the hometown crowd here this morning, right? Here it is. It's December 29th, I think. All right, December 29th, last Sunday of 2024. Hey, listen, it's been a long few days, okay? All right, so I had to make sure. Last Sunday of the year, a lot of Christmas parties and places to go, some recovering from, all that sort of thing. I realized this morning that most of us in the room probably have surrendered our heart and life to Jesus. Now, it may be that you have not. I want to talk to you about salvation. But even if you have, as I talk about this, just take a moment and reflect on what it was like when God invited you to Himself. Because Revelation 22, 17 says, "If anyone will come, let him come." So it's an invitation to Himself. Do you remember John 7, 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Isn't this similar language that we see in Revelation 22, 17? The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him, there it is, who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Do you remember what it was like the day you realized that you were destitute and lost and without Christ, and you had no way to satisfy your most deepest desires, no way to get relief, and you had to come to the Lord? Do you remember what it was like when you were maybe sick and tired of being sick and tired, and there was nowhere the place to look but up? Or maybe you came to a place where you were so overwhelmed by the goodness of God that you just came unto the Lord because He beckoned you to Himself. Man, I thank God that He's a God of invitation, inviting us to Himself. Man, listen, at the time I was miserable, but I remember what it was like being so heavy under conviction, pulling over on the side of the road, putting the vehicle in park and begging God for mercy because I was so under conviction. I would drive home and I would get down the floor, that single wide mobile home, and lay on the floor, say, "God, I don't know what's going on." And I would rattle off my resume, my excuses, how I thought I was okay. And God continued to allow that conviction on my heart and in my life because I needed Him. I remember sitting through invitations and holding on. You know, Pastor Chad talking about people, holding on the pew in front of them with a death grip. That was me. Thank you, Jesus. He continued to pursue me. He continued to invite me to Himself. What was your salvation like? What was your experience like? And listen, I realize there's a lot in the room that maybe you were saved at 5 or 6 or 7 years old, or maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm not talking about some radical, you may have had a radical experience where you went from being addicted to some things or whatever it is and changed. But even as a young child, and you, those of you that were saved then, do you remember God pursuing you and inviting you to Himself? Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Peter's preaching, saying, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household. Excuse me, Paul and them, they're preaching to the Philippian jailer. So, dear friend, it may be that you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. I realize, again, this tends to be the hometown crowd. But if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, surrender to Him today. If we had time for Daydream to come and share her testimony, she had made profession of faith, she had walked the aisle, etc. And one Sunday morning, we had Brother Ronnie Tullis in preaching. I was pastoring at Victory Baptist Church. And she leaned over and said, hey, I need to be saved. As a pastor's wife, it took a lot of boldness to come forward and say, hey, I was lost until today. I need to be saved. So as I say, hey, I understand we're probably in front of the hometown crowd. I also understand that you can sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God for years. And then suddenly one day it's overwhelming that the invitation is God, of God is inviting you to Himself for salvation. And so what do you need to know? What do you need to do for salvation? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is no respecter of persons. You can call out right where you're at. Simply, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came and was born of a virgin? He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross for your sins. Do you believe that He was dead, buried in a borrowed tomb, and raised from the dead for salvation? Do you believe He sits at the right hand of God, that He is Lord of all? If you'll believe on that and repent, the Bible says that if you believe and repent of your sins, you too can be saved. So if you'll trust Him, the Bible says you can be saved. So as He's inviting us to Himself, there's an invitation for salvation. But then B is there's an invitation for depth. There's an invitation for death. So as He's inviting, He's saying, come. And even Genesis 3 of inviting Adam and Eve to Himself, that He provides for them. He provides a means of salvation in terms of the immediate. But all throughout Scripture, we see this invitation for salvation. But even more, we're going to see in just a moment, there's an invitation to depth. So some of you say, Pastor Chris, I know that I know. Man, I've surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. Here's what I believe with all my heart, is that should the Lord tarry in 2025, God wants you to walk closer in more depth, with more intimacy, and more dependence on Him than you ever have. And can I tell you this, dear friend? I've not been walking with the Lord for nearly as long as some of you have. But this is what I do know, is that I've not even begun to exhaust the depth of who God is. There's more of Him to know. There's more of the Christian life to experience. Every year that I've walked with the Lord, and some of you, I hope you can attest to this, every year you've walked with the Lord, it's gotten sweeter. It's gotten better. There's more of the Lord to know. There's more of the richness of our walk with Christ to know. And so this morning, whether you've been a Christian for a year or 2 years, or maybe you've been a Christian for 50 or 60 years, I still believe with all of my heart that you in 2025 can have a closer walk with Jesus than you ever have. And so there's an invitation to depth. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, here's this famous invitation, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, there's a faithful promise that goes beyond that, right? He goes on to say that my burden is easy and my yoke is light. But I want you to notice this. Come to me, all who labor. Man, as I look around, there's a lot of faithful saints in the crowd this morning. There's a lot of you who even right now are consistently, faithfully teaching Sunday school or working and serving in the nursery or serving in the kitchen or serving on Wednesday nights or serving in our audiovisual or serving in a capacity on stage. There's so many of you who have served through the years. You are serving, or maybe in years past you serve year after year after year. Notice the invitation, come to me all who labor. All of you are faithful in service or been years of faithful service. There's still more of God to know. You've not exhausted Him. You've not exhausted that fellowship, that intimacy. Man, there's still more of God that when we get, we experience that. Man, it's a spring of life that never runs dry. He says, come to me all who labor. He says, come to me all who are heavy laden. Well, if I'm just being honest with you, it's been a heavy week this week. And many of you, you've expressed and just, man, been very kind and gracious. Why? Because for many of you, you know exactly at least weight of the passing of a loved one. You know the weight of life change. You know the weight and the heaviness that comes along with just living life, right? Life is just hard at times. As I'm just studying and reminding myself, can I remind you this morning? He says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. And I don't know what you're going through, I don't know what you're facing, but maybe life just feels heavy right now. Can I tell you this morning, there's an invitation. Not just some fanciful invitation that lays out just for one day. There's not just some invitation that one day when you draw your last breath, I believe with all my heart, there's an invitation for today that you can have freedom, you can have relief, you can have a weight lifted off of you only that God can lift. And by the way, His cup never gets too heavy. His burden never gets too heavy. His wagon never gets overloaded. You can trust Him. I told Brant I was going to try to throw in some kind of English, British, proper something in there. And I'm sure there was a great illustration right there. Some colloquialism from the motherland, but I just didn't have it, brother. I tried, you know, tried to throw it in there. But the Lord is worthy. And there's an invitation of come all who are laboring, and come all who are heavy and burdened. And this is the promise, I will give you rest. And by the way, the Bible talks about a rest to be enjoyed, but I believe there's a rest that can be enjoyed right now and found only in the Lord. And so there's an invitation for salvation. There's an invitation for depth. Matthew 16:24 said, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Right? There's this tug and pull. There's this push and pull thing that's going on where there's a call to follow Him. And He says the call and the cost is high. Yet at the same time, there's an invitation going, if you'll bring it to Me, I'll give you rest. And so the beauty of this is that, man, salvation lies in following Jesus, and there's a high cost. Yet at the same time, as we follow the Lord Jesus, He promises relief. He promises rest. And so there's a depth to knowing God that we've only begun to scratch. And so, invitation for salvation, there's an invitation for death. That is, God is inviting us to Himself. Number two, God is inviting others to Himself through us. So let me hit Paul. Let me dig a little more into this. God inviting us to this deeper relationship. This is one area I wanted to encourage us and challenge us in. So how do we do that? How do we live that out? Well, a couple ways that we do that is, first of all, is prayer and Bible study. And so I just want to encourage you in 2025, whatever your goals, whatever your thoughts may be, whatever your plan or approach is to spend more time faithfully at the feet of the Lord. More time in prayer, more time in seeking Him, and then more time in His Word. One of the things that I've done is around the church, I've set out some Bible reading plans, okay? Now listen, I get it. I didn't immediately hear and all the thoughts about Bible reading plan, reading through the Bible, all that sort of thing, okay? I've heard a bunch of it. This is my challenge to you as a pastor, as your pastor. Whether you read the Bible through in a year or not, okay, either way. But my heart and desire for you as a pastor is to spend regular, consistent time in the Word. And if that means with a goal and you're going to read through the Bible in a year, hallelujah. It's something that I set out, I try to do every year, Lord willing. I'll do it again this year. I don't know how many years I've done it. Doesn't really matter, okay? There's not going to be a certificate when I get to heaven that's going to say, Chris, read, you know, whatever. But I tell you this, this is why I do it, okay? Because I need more intake of the Word of God rather than less. I need more of the Word of God speaking to my life than I need less of it. And so for me, it's just, it helps me, it encourages me, it strengthens me, etc. So what I've done is I've printed and set out, and this one I've got small font and large font, okay? So there are options out there, all right? It's the same reading plan, both of them are, just one of them's a little easier to read than the other, depending on your eyesight, okay? But 2025 Bible reading plan, this will lead you through reading the Bible in a year. This plan is very similar to a plan that I use. And what it is you read through all of, every day you read a portion of Old Testament. You read a psalm or part of a psalm, sometimes maybe multiple psalms. Every day you read part of Proverbs, some portion of Proverbs, usually a verse or two, and then you read through the New Testament. So you have those four different places to read from every day. I know some of you are going, well, that's too much. That's fine. There's 100,000 Bible reading plans out there, literally. So find a plan that works for you. This is a one-year those of you may remember a few years ago we did the one-year Bible. This is essentially the same plan. Now, I built this one specifically for our church, and every Sunday there's a day of reflection, okay? There's a day, maybe you need to go back and catch up on some reading, or maybe you just want the freedom to go read wherever you want to read in terms of reading Scripture. So this plan's out there. I made copies. If you need more copies, we can get you another copy. Again, there's Bible apps, all those sorts of things. And so this is one way that you and I both, we can grow in depth with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord. I think the number one thing that drives you in that is your Bible reading and prayer. The other thing I think drives you in depth is through service. I want to encourage you, look around our church in 2025 and find new ways or refresh ways or maybe get back to an area to serve in and around our church. Whether it's a weekly basis, whether it's monthly, there are plenty of opportunities that we have as a church family to serve. There's some mission trip opportunities that will come up in 2025, places and opportunities for you to serve. So regular reading, Bible study, prayer, and in service, all right? So those will help us grow in our depth with Him, okay? All right, so number two, God invites others to Himself through us. Again, notice even in this verse 17 that we're reading, we've been studying Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Obviously, God used John to write this book so that even we would have the text this morning. So God uses others to invite us to himself. All right, so two ideas with this. A, there's an invitation to salvation. The invitation is the same, but it's God using other people to invite us or invite people to salvation. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. It says, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's no such thing as following Jesus and not being a fisher of men. I know that makes us uncomfortable. There's no such thing as being a believer in Christ and not telling others about Jesus. That's a paradox that does not exist in Scripture. Jesus, all of his disciples, he called to himself, and even here, he says, follow me, and I will make you a fishers of men. So to follow Christ is to be a fisher of men. To follow Jesus is to tell men, women, boys, and girls about a saving relationship with him. Period. So the invitation is God using us to tell others about him. Luke 14, 23. Then the master said to the servant, going out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Some of them want to come to the wedding banquet. So he sent the servants out and said, hey, go and tell everyone. It's a metaphor for us. They go, man, there's some that may not come to know the Lord, some that are not interested. And the relation was the religious people, to be honest, if you go and study. So the instruction then is for us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Our job is to go and tell and convince people to come into the Lord. Now listen, I can't make anybody become a Christian. You can't make anybody become a Christian. We know that. We understand that. It's the work of the Spirit of God. It's the drawing of the net, the work of God. But it's our job to go and tell and trust God with the results. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul writes this. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador was somebody that went into enemy territory to plead or to make a case on the home country's behalf. Okay, that's the idea. We are ambassadors for Christ. Notice this. Oh, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So what's the manner in which we're going to tell? You and I are going to tell as ambassadors. So we represent the King as we go, the King of Kings. And how? What? With what conviction, with what passion, with what desire should we go? We're going as though we are a mouthpiece of God and we are speaking as if God were pleading through us. It gives a little bit of a different inflection to our witness, right? Gives a little bit of different intensity. Hey, listen, I wear the bracelet, okay? I wear the t-shirts. I make the posts. I'm telling you, dear friend, if we really believe that we are ambassadors as though God were pleading through us, let me just tell you, that includes opening our mouth and sharing a gospel witness. And we need to use every platform and every tool we have. Yes, technology is advancing. Technology is developing. And let me tell you something, it can be used for wicked and terrible things. But also let me tell you this, that it is another tool that is added to the bag so that we can be ambassadors across the world and reach people who we could not reach 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and 40 years ago. We are ambassadors as though God were pleading through us. Look at this. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So there's an invitation to salvation. My challenge to you in this, as we approach 2025, as we focus on this word invitation, I want to challenge you, share the gospel with somebody this year. I don't know what the statistics are. I can make them up on the spot, but I'm telling you this. The statistics are overwhelming at the number of individuals who claim to be Christians who have never shared the gospel with a single soul in their entire life. May this be true. May they, 2025, that there not be a single solitary member of Second Baptist Church who does not share the gospel in 2025. One time, 365 days, we can find one opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and share it in a way as if we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore them on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. There's an invitation to salvation. Then B, there's an invitation to church. God is using us to invite others to Himself. He's doing it through our gospel witness. That's the primary prong of the fork, if you will. But then also, if He's inviting us to depth, He's inviting us to know. The other prong is through a church, through a local church. It's how we grow in depth. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the gathering together. That's the church gathering together. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I think we would all agree, it seems like, at minimum, just by facts of how life works, we're at least one day closer to the Lord returning or calling us home than we were yesterday. So He says, do this even more as the day is approaching. Man, we ought to live with more urgency every day God gives us. But what's He say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Man, you ought to get together. Yes, there is a scriptural principle and a scriptural idea. The church is to gather together. It's trendy right now to say, hey, look, you're the church, not us gathered in this building. This building's in the church. Hey, listen, we understand that pew, that wall, and that ceiling is not the church. It's the redeemed of the Lord gathered together in a local body. But let me also say this. Listen, just me getting together with my few and my family and reading the Bible that's not church. We're getting somewhere now, right? That ain't church. Church is the body of believers gathering together for the purpose to worship Christ and to know Him more. And dear friend, I'm grateful for all the different avenues we have to get Bible study, to consume Bible study, to consume all those things, all those technologies I was talking about. I'm grateful that those things exist, but I'm telling you right now, there is no substitute for doing what we're doing right now. There is no substitute for it. And you need this, and I need this as much as anything in our lives. It's important. It's important that we don't miss just for the sake of missing. Yes, sickness happens, things happen, but you need to gather together with your church family to worship Him. Also, as a part of this, because it's so important, because it's so crucial, we invite others to come and be a part of it. One of the reasons you and I don't invite others to church, because we don't really believe it's important and necessary. We don't believe it's vital. Because if we did, we would invite. And so I just want to challenge you in the coming year, share the gospel at least with one person. Also, I want to encourage you throughout the year, invite people to come and be a part of church. The stats are still overwhelming. Something like 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 people say they will come to church if they were invited by somebody. So you know what that's reflective of is that we're not inviting. We're not looking for those opportunities. And so friends, I just want to encourage you in this. Invite. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayers. The church got together and worshiped and served the Lord. And we need to do the same. And we need to invite others to be a part of that. And so, friends, the word of focus for 2025 at Second Baptist Church is going to be invitation. He's inviting others to salvation. He's inviting you to depth in your relationship with the Lord. And part of using us, He wants to use us to share the gospel with people and invite others to church. That's the invitation. And so this morning, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you just need a reset this morning. Maybe you're been working and you need to give everything to the Lord. Maybe you're just heavy laden and give everything to the Lord. Maybe you just need to renew some commitments in your life. Whatever it may be, won't you respond to the Lord? I know at the risk of being predictable or whatever it is, man, let's make our commitment to 2025 a year of invitation. In just a moment, when we have an invitation, and let's commit, let's respond during this time. Maybe our invitations in the new year, man, we'll be consistent in getting on this altar and praying and asking God to do what only He can do. Give us boldness to share the gospel. Give us boldness to invite others. Give us strength to find more depth and intimacy with Christ. Pray that God will draw others to Himself for His glory and His name's sake. So I'm going to ask, if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. In just a moment, we are going to have a time of response, an invitation. If you don't know Christ, I'm inviting you, whenever I pray in just a moment, to come. Say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved. Single most important decision you'll ever make. For the rest of us that do know Christ, I'm inviting you to come and join me at the front and let's pray. And maybe God will use us in the way in days ahead like we never dreamed of, we never knew. Maybe there's burdens, there's things you need to cast at His feet. You need to give unto Him. Ask God to do in us and through us what only He can. God in heaven, I pray in this next few moments, God, that You would work and move in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, God, with whatever conviction, burden, struggles, whatever it is we're facing, that God, we would respond to You. God, I pray for anybody who's lost and doesn't know You. God, I pray You'd save them this morning. Give them grace to come and take that step. God, I pray as believers, we'd respond to You first. Lord, I pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask if you would stand and remain in an attitude of prayer. And if God spoke to your heart this morning and you just want to come and get on this altar, I want to invite you to come. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If it's for salvation, you come. Say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved. However God moved in your heart, you respond now.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Jesus, grant is is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask our men to begin to take their place so we can take up the offering this morning as we leave, an opportunity to worship as we go. And so I just want to encourage you to be faithful in your giving, and remember that Tuesday at noon is the deadline for year-end giving for 2024. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to give, and we are grateful for that and thankful for all that all of your giving enables us to do all the ministry that we're able to. And so really grateful for you, okay? All right, well, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you go before us and behind us. Lord, help us to be a witness for you in the days ahead. Lord, I pray that we would grow in depth with our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that as we give this morning, you would take it, use it, multiply it for your kingdom and your glory, your name's sake. God, help us to honor you with all that we say and do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.